This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's often a thing this time of year to take stock of the 12 months past and, for the bad stuff, leave it behind as best we can. But a lot of economic news tends to stick around well into the future. Take, just for instance, the most recent fight over the debt limit. It got pretty nasty this year, and it has done the same in many years gone by. And it turns out those decades of debt ceiling dramas continue to haunt our economy and our lives. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith takes us to visit three ghosts of debt limits past.
There have been about 80 debt ceiling battles since 1960. But those decades of drama have never led to the U.S. actually defaulting. Lawmakers always find a last-minute compromise so the U.S. can keep paying its bills. No tangible damage, right?
It is pretty tangible.
This is John Chambers, here to tell us about one ghost of debt ceiling's past.
I'm the former chairman of Standard & Poor's Sovereign Ratings Committee.
That committee gives credit scores to countries. Chambers headed it in 2011 during an historic moment when S&P downgraded the U.S.'s credit rating from AAA to AA+. One of the main reasons?
The debt ceiling.
S&P said the recurring fights about whether the U.S. should pay its bills creates a risk that one day it won't.
The debt ceiling gives you a clear path to default, and it might even happen by accident. That is not consistent with a AAA rating.
A downgrade from AAA to AA+ might sound pretty mild, but it was a major blow to the economy. When a country's credit rating goes down, it has to pay more to borrow money. After that downgrade in 2011, markets crashed and investors lost billions. People even went after Chambers himself.
I got a lot of hate mail and death threats.
You got death threats?
Yes. I had a personal bodyguard. Every time I went out to walk the dog, the guard went with me.
All because lawmakers cannot seem to stop fighting about the debt limit. But the 2011 credit downgrade is far from the scariest ghost of debt ceiling's past. For that, we have to go back to the very first debt ceiling fight.
My fellow Americans.
Dwight Eisenhower was president. The year was 1953, exactly 70 years ago.
I should mention our enormous national debt. We must begin to make some payments on it.
Economist Kenneth Garbade has studied that first fight. At the time, government debt totaled around $275 billion.
Eisenhower, he asked for an expansion in the debt ceiling by $15 billion, but the Senate turned him down.
To keep the U.S. from hitting the debt ceiling, the Eisenhower administration scrambled to slash the budget.
We did not delay in cutting deep into governmental expenditures.
Some government projects were axed, others were pushed off the books, including a Depression-era program known as Fannie Mae. Fannie bought mortgage loans from banks to encourage home buying, and the program was a big success. But back then, all those mortgages went right onto the government's books. Every loan was piled onto the national debt.
The sticking point was that Fannie Mae contributed to the national debt. So you were pushing up against the debt ceiling quicker than you otherwise would.
So Fannie Mae was rebooted into a private-ish government-backed entity. Instead of using all government money, it would have private investors, like a regular company. But Fannie Mae wasn't a regular company. And here's where our debt ceiling ghost rises again. Because Fannie wasn't entirely on the government's books anymore, the government couldn't control it fully. But Fannie was still part of a government program, so it could never go bankrupt. Its rich Uncle Sam would bail it out, right? At least, says Garbade, that is what investors assumed 5 decades later, when they pushed Fannie Mae to buy up super risky home loans.
That's ultimately how we got into the whole Fannie Mae situation in 2008.
The whole Fannie Mae situation, our scariest debt ceiling ghost. You might remember back in 2008, a whole lot of Fannie's loans turned toxic. It was failing. Garbade was at the New York Federal Reserve Bank at the time.
I was shocked. When the stuff hits the fan, it's so quick and so unexpected that people are in a real tizzy, as my mother used to say.
A tizzy that ended up costing Uncle Sam nearly $200 billion. It was one of the biggest government bailouts in history. President Eisenhower probably never imagined that restructuring Fannie Mae to stay under the debt ceiling would one day contribute to a global financial crisis.
Our overriding concern is not with elaborate theories of economics, but the plain well-being of all the people.
In 1954, Congress finally agreed to raise the debt ceiling. But that fight over $15 billion helped cause a multi-trillion dollar global economic crisis decades later, one that caused millions of people to lose their homes, their jobs, their savings. Which brings us to our final economic ghost of debt ceiling's present, actually debt ceiling's future. This year's debt fight was suspended. It will come back to haunt us in January of 2025. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.